Welcome to the Manage My Wedding podcast, where we believe your wedding is the most important time in your life, and you deserve to feel supported and organized when planning the wedding of your dreams. I'm your host, Yvette Sitters.
Hello, welcome back to the Manage My Wedding podcast. I want to talk about the dreaded budget, because at the moment, everyone is saying, I cannot afford my wedding. I can't pay for the costs. I just don't know how it's going to be possible. And the prices are not slowing down. We have realized that. So today in this episode, I'm going to give you 10 budget-friendly wedding tips to try and help you. Now, the first one is you've got to set a realistic budget. Like, I cannot stress that enough. So many people make the mistake of saying, oh, we've got $15,000. That's what our budget is. And then they go and try and plan this big, lavish wedding, or, you know, not even lavish these days with $15,000, let's be honest. But they go and try and plan all the things that you want, because, of course, you know what you want for your wedding, but you didn't know what things were going to cost. And then, of course, it's three times more than what you thought. So you have to set a realistic budget. And often that means first finding out what your costs are for everything that you want for your own wedding, and then seeing if you can actually afford that before you lock anything in. So that is my number one tip. It is something that we go through in detail in the Calm Bride Planner, because it is so, so important. We break down the costs and help you know what things actually cost. We help you compare prices against venues. We help you compare prices against vendors. And then we work out what you need to scrap and what you really can't afford. So it's really important that you try and do that. So important. The second thing is try and choose an off-peak wedding day if you can. So not all venues offer this, but some do. Some might offer cheaper weekdays. And please don't be shy in taking weekdays. I have been to so many weekday weddings and it does not matter anymore. So if it's cheaper, possibly go for a weekday. You might consider a winter wedding if you live in a tropical climate, or if you live in a beautiful winter climate, you might choose to go for the summer dates. Whatever is off-peak where you want to have your wedding, or where you live, or where you're located, try and look at the cheaper dates and ask the venues up front, you know, do you negotiate and have cheaper rates on certain days, months, you know, weeks? Ask them that up front. Really, really important. Number three is DIY decor and details. Now, I do want to say here, it is not always cheaper to DIY, not always. And it is also sometimes not worth your time. So sometimes by the time you do it all and by the time you pay for everything, it can end up being about the same as what you could have purchased it for, or got a supplier to do it, or had a vendor come in and do it. So make sure you evaluate that first. For example, if you've got an idea about favor, you might see how much it's going to cost you to buy all the pieces. Then you might work out how long it's going to take you to put them together, and it might end up being more. So you're like, I'm just going to buy it already done. You can think about that for everything, because DIY is something you need to have time for, and it can end up being quite stressful. But it doesn't mean, when it comes to DIY, that you don't maybe borrow things from people, because that's not going to cost you, or that you don't get other people to help you do stuff, because that's going to reduce the amount of time. Or it might be cheaper to hire something rather than buying it. Or maybe you can go on Facebook Marketplace or these secondhand or pre-loved wedding websites where you can buy something that's maybe only been used once, including your wedding dress. Like, oh my gosh, how important I stress that your dress does not need to be brand new. When a dress has been worn once, it looks brand new still and nobody else knows. So make sure you check that, especially if you have a dress that you've fallen in love with and you can't afford the price tag. Go and see if you can hunt down a secondhand one of the same dress. Many people don't think to do that. The fourth thing is consider alternate venues. And I know sometimes that can be heartbreaking, but that's why I said in point one, where I talked about the cost, setting a realistic budget, it's really, really important that you first check that you can afford that venue. If not, then you haven't signed a contract or anything and you're not held to, you know, a certain amount of money. But a lot of venues have, you know, minimum spend or minimum numbers, and often that might be too high. So just, you know, be flexible with your venue. Go in, if you've got an area that you want to get married in, go and find Facebook groups for that area. So type in, let's say you want to get married in the Hunter Valley, you would type in Facebook groups, Hunter Valley Weddings or Weddings Hunter Valley, and you'll find the groups. Join those groups and tell them, this is what my budget is for a venue. This is the style of venue I'm looking for. And everyone will suggest to you because they would have already done the groundwork or they would have already had their wedding. So highly recommend that you do that. The fifth thing is to limit your guest list. Oh, I talk about this a lot and you've probably heard me go on about it. I know, but I can't help it. But it is where all your expenses are. All your expenses are in how many people you are inviting. So be realistic. Look at those numbers, scale them back. Decide with your partner, no second cousins. Maybe it means no cousins. And you say to all of them, we love you so much. We just, you know, unfortunately, we just couldn't afford it. So we're keeping it as immediate family and best friends. Whatever it is, you have to decide, but you need to really, really rein in on your guest numbers. That will instantly reduce your costs. Instantly. It hurts and it's hard. It's another thing we do in the Calm Bride Planner. We go through, we do a guest list challenge. And after the guest list challenge, we set some guest rules in place. Actually, there's some episodes as well that I shared the guest list challenge from the Calm Bride Planner podcast episodes. I can't remember the numbers of those episodes now, but I will drop them in the show notes so you can go back and do those. But then after we do the guest list challenge in the Calm Bride Planner, we do the guest rules. So we put all the guest rules together and then we then know what we are saying to family and friends when they say, can we bring a plus one? Can we bring our friends? Why aren't my kids invited? Why aren't your niece and nephews? You know, you've got all the answers to your guest rules. It makes it so much easier. Trust me. My sixth budget-friendly wedding tip is sometimes opting for a buffet or food stations. And you might have been thinking, but I really want plated. But if you really don't have enough money for your wedding, a lot of venues, this is a lower cost option. And these days, it does not mean that the food is worse. Like these chefs these days and these venues, they have got really, really good at producing amazing food no matter how they serve it. And I love food stations. They're so fun when you go to all these different stations and they've got different options on them. They're so much fun. They're really interactive. And it doesn't mean that your guests don't still sit down. So consider that as well. The seventh tip is choose in-season flowers. It was only a couple of episodes. I did the fake versus real flowers. Maybe go back and listen to that as well. But if you're like set on real and you're having real, make sure they're in season because it makes a massive difference because otherwise they have to import them. It's hard for them to get. Then they might not end up even being able to get them, but you've already paid for them. Like it's just such an added cost that you can try and avoid. So go with your in-season flowers, please. My eighth tip, borrow or rent attire. Now that also goes with what I said about pre-loved as well, hunting down pre-loved. But, you know, there is no harm in pre-loved. There is no harm in renting either. Absolutely not. My husband rents off a company in Australia. I think it's called Suta. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head because he has to go to gala events and dinners and all sorts of things all the time for his work. If he had all these suits, honestly, he'd have more clothing than myself and my girls put together. So when he knows there's one coming up, it costs him hardly anything. I think it's like $120. It arrives the day before and he loves them. They have, it sounds like really silly, but you can't tell, but they have elastic around the sides that you can adjust, but you can't see that because of the way that they're made. and they are classy. There is black tie. There is absolutely everything, everything you can imagine. And the quality is phenomenal. So consider that. And also think about that when you're thinking about your bridal party as well. And the same goes for the women. You can also hire women's things as well. Or you can hunt down dresses on Marketplace or secondhand pre-loved places. Like there's honestly so many options. So please have a think about that for attire and everything. Number nine, and I wrote this one down, but I don't love it. But it is at the moment we have to think of money and cutting costs, and it's maybe opting for digital invitations. And I say that because I'm such a big lover of that printed invitation. And the reason why I'm such a big lover of that is because when that person opens that invitation, the emotions that they feel from that moment and it's the first impression of your wedding, and they get so excited and it's just a really beautiful moment. And then the information goes on their fridge or maybe on the counter, or it goes somewhere. With digital invitations, they often don't RSVP, and they often then can't remember where that digital invitation came from or went to find the details. So you get heaps of messages saying, oh, what's your website again? Or how do I RSVP? Or what do you want the day before the wedding? You know, what are the details of your wedding? If it's hard and it's printed, like they honestly can find, like they don't need to message you and they can find everything really quickly. But if you really cannot afford your wedding or you don't know how you're going to pay for things, then potentially opt for digital invitations. But maybe have some reminders as the wedding's getting closer so you do not get harassed by those 100 guests. So have an email that goes out 2 weeks before. Hey, our wedding's 2 weeks away. Here's all the details again. If you need them, just, you know, refreshers, because they need them. People need them. They have overflowing inboxes these days. They have overflowing Facebook groups. They have overflowing text messages, WhatsApps, the list goes on and on. So you've really got to keep on top of them. And then my 10th and final one is negotiate with your vendors. Honestly, not after the fact that you've booked them, unless you think you're going to have to cancel your wedding, then you can talk to them and say, look, it looks like we might have to cancel. We can't afford the wedding. Is there anything you can do? They might be able to give you an alternate package, or, you know, sometimes they don't want to lose that date either, because then they're going to lose a lot of money. They might only then get your deposit. So have a chat to them. That's not always possible, but always try. But before you go ahead and book your vendors, talk to them about the price. Ask them, is there any wiggle room? Tell them, you know, you're really stretched. Ask them, can the photographer do less hours? You know, can he not have an assistant? Like, just try and think of creative things and, you know, don't go for the most expensive beverage package. No one cares. They just want a drink. Go for the basic leading one. So think through those things and negotiate with your vendors. I can't stress that enough. So there you have it. This is a quick podcast episode. I just wanted to give you 10 budget-friendly wedding tips to help you, because I cannot believe how many people are saying, I cannot afford my wedding. You know, people are really struggling at the moment. So, if I still 100% believe everyone deserves a wedding, everyone deserves that fairy tale story, everyone deserves that memory. It is honestly the best day of your life. Like, I think of my 10 years ago and I still have the biggest smile, and I'm still have absolutely no regrets about all that money I spent. And I know that everyone else feels the same way. So don't give up on your dreams. Just, you know, lower your expectations sometimes and just look at every possible option of reducing your costs. And make sure that you have got the free Manage My Wedding app. It is free to download in the App Store or in Google Play. You know, I give you a full list there of all the costs. Then you can go through that and you can see, do I want that? Do I need that? Yes, no. Delete it if you don't need it. And then get an idea of what your costs are on that as well in the budget section. So that's it for today. And until next time, enjoy being engaged and staying stress-free and organized while planning the wedding of your dreams.